Give it just a little bit to catch up. You see a timer? I see a timer.
I think that means we're doing it.
So, you know, sometimes Friday night you like to have a little bit of fun, right? Like, mm-hmm. And you don't really abstain too much, but a Friday night, I'm not going to go crazy, but maybe I like to have a few beers and one of my lightweight gummies.
Friday, you're going to have a little more of your fun than, say, on a Tuesday.
Exactly.
That's not your Tuesday slate.
I don't really do my lightweight gummies anymore during the week unless unless I'm going to treat it like sleep medicine.
Yeah.
But I don't really do that anymore. So I had a few beers and a lightweight gummy thinking, man, it's going to be so good to sleep in tomorrow.
Going to hit the sleep zone.
Stayed up a little later. I'm on the hunt for the sleep zone, right? 5:57 this morning. Mind you, I went to sleep midnight 15, somewhere in there. 5:57 this morning. I get the full-blown tap on the shoulder. Like the hit, not a hit, but like a forceful, like, little kid paw.
I was going to say, is this human or dog? Because sometimes the dog that will do that to us is in the crate. However, you get that from her sometimes.
Yeah, our dog. I don't think our dog would ever do that. I don't think she ever would. I mean, maybe if there's like a Lassie emergency, so killer reference. I'm sure everybody gets that. But no, it was the 7-year-old alerting me to the fact that he has a sore throat at 5:57 in the morning.
This is a priority one item. We need to get out of bed because it's not that something's coming out of one end or the other or both.
No.
It's not that I am bleeding in a way that needs immediate adult attention.
No.
It's that when I swallow, it doesn't feel perfect.
That I think that's a good way to put it because it wasn't even when I swallow, it's painful. It was something like when I swallow, I feel it.
Yes.
Because you go through... Like you're playing nurse at that point, or you're
triaging,
like,
it.
Yeah, sure. You're playing check-in nurse, right? You're like, okay, so how does our head feel? Does our body feel okay? Are we coughing? There's no sign of congestion. We're doing a hand feel of the head to see if we got a temperature. How does your body feel? Does your body feel sick? You know when you're sick now. You're 7 years old. Does your body? No, I feel fine. My throat hurts. Okay, but does it like hurt like when you were crying last year with strep throat, or does it just kind of hurt in that when I swallow, I can feel it on this side? Okay. All right. Maybe we got some allergies. Maybe we got some drainage. I'm here to report that as of right now at 9:13 a.m., so what is that, a little over 3 hours later, I feel as though we've experienced a miraculous recovery after two Motrin and some iPad in bed rest time.
Dude, iPad in bed.
Which they get
clears it right up every time.
Dude, on a Saturday morning, like, you think we're monitoring iPad in bedtime?
No.
You think we give one shit if somebody turns on an iPad? Now, I will say, here's what I think happened. For whatever reason, I think my guy woke up at like 5:30, 5:45. And maybe he did have a little thing in his throat. But waking up at that point in time and realizing you're just sitting there in your bed and you know it's not really like get up and start hanging out around the house time. I think we had to find a reason to get up and alert that there's going to be some movement about. And he had to like get the okay. And there's a force field when you come in there and you say, throat's hurt. We can't be like, go back to bed. Can't be like anything. You got to get up and deal with it. So I think that's about 60% of the reason for coming in there. But again,
strategic.
I'd like to report a miraculous recovery.
Well, I'm happy. I was worried. It was touch and go there for a minute.
Let's do an intro.
Okay. Hit the intro, Brad.
Human dads.
Human dads.
Human dads.
Human dads.
Human dads. Human dads. Human dad's
pop. But also I'm low energy. Human dad's pop. Human dad's pop. Seriously low energy.
Human dad's
pop.
Human dad's
pop. Human dad's pop.
Human dad's pop.
Human dad's pop.
Podcast.
Human dad's pop.
Podcast.
Human dad's pop.
Podcast.
Human dad's pop.
Get up off your ass.
Human dad's pop.
Podcast.
Human dad's pop.
Podcast.
Human dad's pop.
Podcast.
Human dad's pop.
Get up off your ass.
Oh, your mom.
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 Tell your mom.
Tell your mom.
Tell your mom.
Tell your mom to listen. Tell your mom to listen. Tell your mom to listen. Tell your mom to listen.
Get up off your ass for the Human Dads Podcast.
Why are you low energy? Just because of the premature wake up.
Yeah, the abbreviated sleep is what it is. But also, it's like there's like a mental aspect to it too, right? Like 12 hours, like 6 hours previous, I had programmed myself for the, here's what's going to happen. It's going to be great. And then when you don't get that and it gets taken from you, I think it like, it zaps even like it, that takes part of the energy too. Not just the physical of like having a few beers, having a gummy and having to wake up early in that state, you know, which by the way, I also took some allergy medicine, which messes with me to holy hell, which might be compounding the low energy state that I'm in.
Which allergy medicine? What are we talking about here?
Zyrtec.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty. Does it really mess with you energy-wise?
With me, it doesn't matter. They all make me feel cloudy.
Weird.
All of them.
I stopped taking them years ago because they none of them worked. It was, you know, in the pre-Flonase days, you know, while we always sing the praises of the Flonase. I finally got to where Zyrtec, Claritin, Allegra, any of those. It just was like, I might as well have been... I got the placebo. They didn't give me the real pill. So I just gave up. But I don't remember them ever making me feel cloudy per se.
They make me feel cloudy and hot-faced.
Hot-faced.
Yeah.
I had to set an alarm. You talked about how you were looking forward to sleeping in before this podcast. I had to set an alarm to make sure I didn't oversleep it.
I was willing to do the last-minute scramble because I know I will... Like, I know there's no way they're going to let me sleep all the way till 9 o'clock without some sort of interruption. Right?
Yeah, that's a good bet. Yeah.
The other part of it, too, is like, I know I will at least peek my eyes open and see the sun is shining through the curtains, at which point I'll be like, oh, shit, I got to go send the link. And I know I would have woken up enough without an alarm. What I typically like to do, though, if we're going to do one of these shows, is set the alarm for an hour before because I don't like the scramble. As I'm the one who's in control of sending the link, I don't want people waiting on me. That's what I did. And so I'll set it an hour before. But even then, I was like, not today. I'm getting as many of those minutes as I can. And I wanted to wake up naturally, and that was completely shot. How are you?
I had a similar night to yours last night. Except I was hanging with my kids earlier in the evening, and so I didn't make dinner for myself. Everyone just kind of ate leftovers on their own, and I never got around to doing it for me, and so I ate at like 1:20 a.m. and then
that was dinner.
Yeah, I mean it was my final meal of the day. I don't, you can call it whatever you want to call it.
Okay. I mean, I'm not against late night eating.
Yeah. I've gotten to where my meal schedule is just kind of, it's completely ad hoc. If we don't cook something for the family that's fresh that night or order something for the family that's coming at 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7:30, whatever, lunch could be, there could be breakfast, there could be a protein bar with the coffee and nothing for lunch. There could be only coffee in the morning and a protein bar at 2 o'clock. There could be a leftover struggle meal anywhere from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then my entire meal cadence has turned into a shit show, Brad.
I'm right there with you. right there with you, my guy. I could blame inflation or whatever, but I feel like, you know, on activity nights, I don't know, maybe
so Bidenomics like, done made my groceries too expensive.
I feel like you guys are probably better about this because of the type of people you are. Like, you might plan for activity nights a little bit better, but activity nights are during dinner time, like practice, dance, soccer practice.
We try to cook the night or two before one of those so that we have a good leftovers and not a shitty meal leftovers, at least for one of the two. We have two nights that are big activity nights right now instead of three, which is nice. So at least one of them we try to be eating like leftovers from homemade stuff that actually is something that you feel good telling the government you fed your kids.
I feel like we have three activity nights right now. And those are typically resigned to hopefully one of those is a leftover that's easy to do. And then the other two are resigned to sandwich night and Chick-fil-A night. And sandwich night and Chick-fil-A night means either a quick early or a quick late dinner.
Right.
And somehow both result in me being hungry at 10 o'clock. It does not.
You know what results in me being hungry at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock. Beers.
Just the fact that it exists. And so I've really actually in the last month, I would say I've broken that habit because all of the holiday time and then it just kind of kept going and I was, you know, I needed to switch it up, man. It wasn't.
Let me ask you, because I know you're not this guy. I don't think you can be this guy. And what I'm realizing is I don't think I can be this guy, but it has crossed my mind in the past week or so that I'd like to be, I'm not saying put my phone down, but unplug from the content side of the phone. And not for any bad reasons, not for anything that's like, oh, I just can't handle this anymore, or I'm getting too worked up. Just a recharge. That's all I'm saying. Just a reset. But I'm realizing in order to do that, you literally have to like put your phone down in a drawer in another room and go away and leave it alone. Because even if, say, you just wanted to pick a certain kind of entertainment on your phone, let's say you wanted to play music from your phone, but you're interacting with it for every few minutes to change a song or every 10 minutes or whatever, inevitably you're going to get some sort of notification that wants you to go somewhere else on your phone. And I've noticed I don't even have to think about it. My body's response to the phone, even if I have in my mind, I'm just going to let this thing chill there for like 30 minutes, just hang out. My body's natural response to the phone is to go through like the five rotations of apps before I set it down.
Huh. You know, I don't do that. I know a lot of people do that. I'll check if there's a number badge on there that's not normally there, because I guess they're called badges because it's not a notification. It's not a pop-up. I keep them clean. Even my inbox, which is three email accounts on the phone, I keep it under 10 unread easily all the time. But that's throughout the day on the computer more than it is the phone for the most part. But as far as it's everything else, it's either going to be it's just the socials, you know, the Facebook, the IG, and the artist formerly known as Twitter. I click on them. Like, I almost never use Facebook on my phone, maybe once every 3 days. IG is my idle scrolling if I'm laying on the couch for five free minutes. And Twitter is, I only really check it either late at night or during a game, or, I mean, yeah, that's about it, because I've unfollowed so many people because they keep wanting to talk about Trump.
Yeah, I don't really care to discuss the timeline, but I will say my biggest interaction is with some sort of female bot. Like, that's who responds to literally everything or likes something from a year ago. Or
oh yeah, For sure. That's a couple times a week.
More than, it's like every day for me. Like, oh, really? They're just,
I don't get it that often.
Every day I get some sort of Sarah Hamilton liked your post from 2 weeks ago. And I digress, but no, I just noticed, like, I feel like I got to be like the do not disturb person on the phone, or tell people like, hey, I'm on a phone diet. Please don't text me links or anything, or ask me, like, you just get a text message that like asks for the kid's soccer schedule, and I send that, and then my muscle memory just goes through like, check Twitter, check TikTok, check my email, check Instagram, and like all of these are like 20-second checks. It's not like I'm getting on there to like get on there or interact. You just check it to see if you're missing something. I don't know.
If the FOMO, I get asked to look at my phone to one, tell someone what the weather is, and two, to tell someone what temperature the hot tub is at every 5 minutes.
Check the air temperature. In this house, if I'm not here and the internet is doing things, I can fix that from my phone. Obviously, I'm going to get communications via text. I think the way most people communicate via email for work is how I communicate via text for work. I get dentists texting me just all day.
And, you know, I don't like getting work texts unless it's just a very timely, like they need to let me know something right then and make sure I see it. Like I got a text yesterday afternoon from a sales rep that I'm just setting up a meeting to talk about renewing something in a month. And he texted me and he was like, hey, it's so-and-so, who, by the way, I've never even met. He's like, hey, it's so-and-so. I forgot to put an invite on your calendar. I'll send one over here in an hour or two. And I thought, well, I appreciate the follow-up, but I'm like, why are you texting me? Like, what are...
Don't text me about something.
This is where this is where my kids send me requests for more screen time. I don't need you telling me you're going to send me an invite for a call that we're going to have next Wednesday.
Yeah, for sure. Most of the time, dentists text me. It's a time sensitive.
It has to be because they're trying to deliver something that's been produced,
or they've got
to put into somebody's mouth like that day,
or they've got a patient there right then that they're trying to figure out some sort of treatment for, or you know, it makes sense that way that it wouldn't be an email. A lot of times too, there's pictures back and forth, so that's an even more fun way that text message just, like, in theory it would produce a 15-minute phone call, but if I could just send you a picture and say, hey, look at this, and then they look at that and text me back, we're good to go. Did you want to talk State of the Union response, kids getting brainwashed at school, or Dallas Mavericks? Because I do have a State of the Union response part that I haven't heard anybody else talk about, which, by the way, I need to just go ahead and come clean.
I didn't even know. First of all, I thought the State of the Union was a January thing. When did it get moved to March? I swear it used to be late January.
I thought it was always like third week of January. You and I are both out of the loop here. Clearly. I thought it was
because it delivers no value whatsoever. I didn't know though that the response, because remember the Marco Rubio took the sip of water that became a meme. You know, there's always
they've had a few where
Bobby Jindal did something funny at one point.
Few where the response is just fodder the next day.
Yeah. So I didn't know, and I did see it last night. Not a clip, but a couple stills. And first of all, I didn't know that she was a senator.
You want me to play some of it for you or no?
No, not unless you're prepared to make it funny, because I'm not. I didn't know she was a senator.
The whole thing, it's hilarious.
I did catch it looked like did they time travel back to like the Depression, but then find the nicest house that was around in the Depression and then sit there, and the only light they had was the light from the camera filming? It was the weirdest. It looked weird, man. It just looked, it's unsettling. We're in dystopia. It just was too weird. It should have just, why can't it just be somebody sitting in an office saying, hey, here's what I think about what you just heard? And it was almost like I caught 10 seconds of her audio, and it was the "we hear you" whatever thing where she's whispering.
That's the whole thing.
The fuck have we done? What have we done in our entire world?
A couple things. Got to come clean. I'm obsessed. Okay. I have watched
with the response,
with the whole setup, like the, okay. I just like pretend it was an episode of television that you just thought there were so many great things about. And if you watch it again, you find something else. Okay. So yes. One, to let you know about the kitchen. Apparently that was part of a $200,000 home renovation. Okay. So there were some choices made to make that kitchen look like that. Two, it's not surprising that they would have a production team that couldn't frame that whole setup to look as good as it possibly can, because ultimately the delivery of this message and the execution of this message is what it is. And at no point do I think anybody watching this was like, this was a high quality production. So I think from a very, like from a technical aspect, nobody was doing anybody any favors of presenting that kitchen. Okay. So
it looked like someone's high school kid neighbor from down the street said, oh, I'll film it, but he'd never done it before.
But let's not put them totally.
But had high dollar equipment.
Because the person who is want to go out and deliver that message that way, like that's a certain type of person. And I'm just going to go ahead and say maybe they don't have the greatest taste and the ability to do a wonderful large scale renovation of their home and make all the choices to where it actually, you know, looks nice. Maybe they are of a certain like I want my house to look like a 1940s kitchen where this is where women belong. I don't know.
It was a weird color.
Yeah, it's a weird color, but
I'm colorblind, but it looked gray and green simultaneously, but not the kind of gray or kind of green that I would consider aesthetically pleasing. It was weird, man. It creeped me out.
If you go look at the BTS, which I don't know if they're available anymore, but if you go look at the BTS shots on her Instagram, everything looks yellow. So even more confusing. I've never.
What's her name? Katie what?
Katie Britt.
Okay.
I don't even know where to start, but let me say this. We are elder millennials / on the line of Gen X. I don't know what they call us, but we've talked about it before. We're right there on that split.
We're the Oregon Trail cohort.
Yeah. So everybody 40 to call it 44 is right on the line there of the two generations, right? So obviously millennials have, you know, for a little bit of time there had some bad PR and were their differences from Gen X and boomers were highlighted for quite some time as they were entering the workforce, right? There was millennial articles as the internet proliferated throughout the mid-aughts and into the 2010s and into the 15 and into the 20. Like millennial
became
a pejorative term.
It's a, right? The world now uses the term millennial to mean anyone under 30 that does something the way they don't like it, even though all the millennials now are mostly much older than that.
As much as any other time, it made me look and be like, well, I'm ashamed to be within a year of her birth. She's 42 years old. And she, like, for a we're at the age now that some of us are senators.
We need to be senators, but we're not, it's not the right people.
I don't disagree with you, but it may be
never the right people. What was Did she talk like that the whole time?
Yes. 100%. The over the top. Let me tell you what the American dream can do in the span of one generation. And to go from this, like, this, oh, this, it's, people don't know it, but if you've ever watched any of the Christian fundamentalist, like, and especially like a Young Life voice, when they're,
that's where I was headed with this.
Yeah,
is it's that a young, is that what we're dealing with?
100%. This is a 26-year-old Young Life voice preaching to other 26 to 15 year olds about the depths and horrible atrocities of pornography. Like, that's the whole the voice, that's the voice. It was unhinged, though, because it was the voice at, like, say their voice is usually at 11. Like, any well-adjusted human being just feels creepy listening to that voice, right? Except for those people who enjoy the emotional manipulation of being caught up in that religious sect. Like, there are people that get out of it and they realize, like, that tone is for the emotional manipulation. That delivery is for the emotional manipulation of the message, right? Once people deconstruct, break themselves out of it, they can identify what that tone is once they're on the outside. And I think, as you and I, church going or not, we're certainly not Christian fundamentalists, so we can automatically hear that tone, and it's that's grating.
No for me.
Yeah, yeah, right. I don't care what you're saying. It's a no for me. It's, yeah, it is all kinds of pitchy. So to hear her do that the whole time, like, that's all I could think of was Young Life. That it's the only thing I could think of. Secondly, and this is the part I really want to bang home, we're at the age now where we have children. Oh, look at that, Duncan.
Got it delivered.
We are at the age now, and our children are at the age now where we can do shit that will give them red-faced, hot neck embarrassment. Okay? You can do it at home and they will feel that embarrassment. They're at that age now. They're emotionally developed enough to where that maybe they can't articulate that they're embarrassed, but that's what they're experiencing, is embarrassment. Okay? And a lot of us call it like cringe, like it's cringeworthy. I could not get over it. This woman, I want to say, if you look at the picture, I didn't want to do this to figure out this much. I told you I'm obsessed. But if you look at the picture, I think this woman has tweens.
Yeah.
Call it 14 to 10-year-old children. Mm-hmm.
Which is the wheelhouse for what you just described. It's, they are ashamed that we even are alive.
I feel so incredibly bad for those children, because they're probably online enough for some of this to hit their filter. They probably have access enough to the internet. And if they don't, they probably have friends that do. And even then, if they don't have friends that do, they probably have people, for whatever reason, at school that don't like them, who also have access to this. And maybe I'm overdoing it here, but I cannot, I used to be embarrassed at 13 years old when my stepdad would pull up in the Volkswagen bus, right? The 1968 Volkswagen bus that was loud as shit.
And if I can interject, do you know what I would give right now to have access to a 1968 Volkswagen bus?
As a grown up,
ass would that be?
As a grown up,
I want that.
As a grown-up, I'm now sad that he was forced, because you know what he did, and I'll derail here completely, but he had this 68 bus that he completely renovated to look like the Coca-Cola Volkswagen bus that was red and white with the striped red and white curtains in the windows, mm-hmm. And that's what it looked like. From a mechanical perspective, from a health of the car perspective, it was always something. There were many a time where we had to hop out and push it through the intersection or there were many a times where we had to do the manual, start it out, start it in neutral, get some momentum, then
run and hop on.
Yeah. Many a time. Okay. But when I was, call it 12 to 14 years old, sometimes when he was making that turn into the parking lot and it would pick up and the engine would die, dude, you're not a big Avengers fan, but surely you've seen the part of the movie where Thanos snaps his fingers and people just start crumbling into dust as like a meme. It's not doing it.
I don't know what Thanos even is.
Okay, so Thanos snaps his fingers and some of the characters in the movie just, they turn into crumbs and they just disintegrate into the air. And that's what I felt like was happening to me at 13 years old when he would turn that vehicle into the school parking lot and I would hear it cut off and die, which would mean if he doesn't get this cranked on the first one, when I'm going to have to get behind this thing and push it with him. Meanwhile, there's 25 other people who are there just sitting, and I felt like I was just disintegrating into the air.
And so you're saying that Senator Katie's kids are going to be feeling like that a lot.
They're not like 4 and 5. It's not like the real world doesn't cross their radar. They're middle school age kids. Their mom is probably going to get canned on SNL this weekend. I cannot believe that this woman did this. Having kids that have to go live in the real world. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're homeschooled. Maybe they go to a church school with 30 other kids. Maybe. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility if you hear her talk. Everything I said doesn't even address just the bold-faced lie that she told. But it's crazy when you go on there and you say something like, we wouldn't accept this sexual trafficking of a 12-year-old to happen in a third world country, but somehow we're okay accepting it under Joe Biden's administration in America, which didn't happen.
Did we legalize? Did we legalize it? Why is that the conversation? We are so dumb. This is why I unplugged from everything. We have gotten collectively so dumb.
This is their main. We were way ahead of this.
We were years out ahead of this. We were pre-COVID on some of this, if I remember right. Maybe not on this show, but certainly sitting around making jokes. If she was there talking about how he can't stay awake and he's forgetting people's names, there would be no rebuttal to that, right? He'd be like, well, yeah, he's the president ages you and he's already too old. So, okay, I hear you on that. I wish there was an alternative that wasn't.
Well, you haven't. You don't even watch the analysis because the analysis.
Yeah,
I know. But I told you I'm obsessed. The analysis of the State of the Union was these same people who are calling him Sleepy Joe are now ready to accuse that he's on the juice. They're now ready to accuse that they're calling him Jacked Up Joe. They're saying that he went out there and he was too aggressive, that he went up there and he was too on, right? And so he went from Sleepy Joe to being too on, like he's on some sort of substance, like they shot him up with something. That's how wired this dude was.
Everything now is Skip and Stephen A. You realize the world.
Oh, 100%.
The world 100%. Is being run by people that are basing their decisions on what Skip and Stephen A are going to say.
It's 100%. Crazy. 100%. It's crazy. Could not agree with you more. And that's,
Go ahead.
I think that's why you get the like, there's no way she went into that thinking half-assed, like, oh, I hope this works. I think they came up with the plan. They wrote the response and they looked at it and they were like, we're going to get people giving us a standing ovation from their couches. Like that has to be the level of self-awareness had to be at that level to where they thought, people are about to watch a home run in the bottom of the ninth. They are going to be off their couch clapping with their families for us.
Did they have a response when we were kids I don't remember a response until, like, I don't know, after 9/11 time frame, Iraq time frame, Iraq time frame. Sorry, I said that like I'm from Texas.
I don't remember it at all
when Bill Clinton was president, basically. And I don't even remember it much when W was president, but I feel like it probably happened. It was probably like Tom Daschle and them. You remember them guys?
I do. I think it's the 24-hour news cycle and the online being able to use it as content the next day that has made it. And maybe we're just more aware, but I do remember that the State of the Union response used to be reserved for whoever they thought was up and coming. The parties would be like, here's our AAA.
That's how we got the Rubio water bottle
prospect. Here's our,
they were all big on him. Yeah.
Here's our young kid at Frisco coming up. You're going to see him in 4 years.
Here comes Profar.
Yeah, this is the Profar.
Guess what? All we've been getting is a bunch of Profars.
This lady said, here's the Profar, and we went to watch Profar at his throwing day, and his arm fell out of his shoulder, and there was nobody. Like, even the Republican response has been, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
The Republican response has been, like, when you lose the Megyn Kellys of the world, when Megyn Kelly is like, hey, I need y'all, she talks to her writers and she's like, hey, I need y'all to punch up some jokes because what we just watched was a Lifetime movie audition and I don't know who, what, why any of this occurred and we are all off worse for it. I saw Megyn Kelly say this is going to take this lady years to recover from. This lady has got years ahead of her to live this down.
Yeah.
And that's, it's Megyn Kelly. Like, when you lose those people.
How many people are involved in getting you even elected
to senator?
United States Senate. There's only 100 of them.
Yeah.
This isn't Trophy Club City Council, guys, where any old schlep with a podcast can fall into it. It's the amount of money, the people involved, the structure around it, the structure around all of it. There had to be an entire massive team of people who all worked on this in one form or another, whether it was writing it, reviewing it, setting it up, coming up with the ideas, telling her what she should wear, telling her where it should be, working on the tone of it. Like, this wasn't just her going I Instagram live. This was a whole production. Yeah.
Yeah. This was a project.
Frightening. Where's she from? What state? Alabama. Are we talking here?
Alabama.
Did she replace Tuberville? Is he still there? Or
nope. He said, I saw good things. I saw a woman in a kitchen.
So the two senators in Alabama are Tommy Tuberville and this person. Oh, my God.
Kitchen table. What are Katie we all doing, Alabama? Tommy Tuberville.
I thought Tuberville was gone, like had left or something. Okay. Wow.
Got one last thing I'd like to say. I feel bad for the children. Genuinely, I do. They're not of an age where they can form their own identity outside of their parents. I feel bad for the children. Hopefully, it's not. Hopefully, I'm just making this up, and it's not even a blip on their radar. But I don't know, man.
Let's follow up with Jace. And for next week,
Alexa, stop.
When I said let's, she thought I said her name.
Yeah.
But AI is going to take over the world, by the way.
Sure.
That's going to be cute when someone says something to the AI and it bombs the wrong hospital. Anyway, we need to ask Jace. We should all do this next week before the next show. We should ask all of our kids. Maybe not Shep. He's under the cutoff, but we should probably ask the rest of them. Maya's in third grade, so maybe that's
penetrated.
Maybe we should be like, have you heard of Katie Britt? And if they say no, we could say, have you heard of the lady that was a senator from Alabama that gave a speech? And just see what they say. If they say no, say, okay, we're just seeing. I'm really curious. If I was in like seventh or eighth grade, I think we would have probably been talking about it for the cringe factor.
The last thing I want to say about it is, I don't know if you've ever experienced, surely you have, you're in a relationship, y'all have been together for over a decade, you got a family, you got kids, you both got your own working lives.
You got your own sleep pods with the sex pedestal in the middle.
Yeah, with the sex recliner in the middle. The
drum riser.
When one of the people in the relationship experiences like an imbalance at work, or maybe let's say a family imbalance that they're dealing with, something on their side of the family, or like a health-related issue that creates an imbalance of just day-to-day, the consequences and the repercussions for the routine and the enjoyment that you experience together can have a rippling effect. And it takes time to then recapture the rhythm to process whatever. And I'm not talking like, oh, you're having a bad couple days where you're arguing. Or I'm not talking about like, you know, spouse had a bad day at work. I'm talking about
this, like, is like mental health or physical health or a major disruption at work, a major disruption at work, or kids got a real big issue at school. Totally get it. Yeah. It takes weeks and weeks and weeks, to, if not months, sometimes to fully recover from those things. Yeah.
I think this woman has experienced, like, it's impossible to, she's a political figure. It is impossible for her to tune out. So for her to look out and from every side, like, I didn't see one, maybe her church family is going to be like, beautiful message, like everything, all good things. But surely this has had a negative response in her life to the point to where it is going to take some processing, and that processing can imbalance the relationship's rhythm to where you're not doing the fun and the enjoying, and you're more triaging, and you're going through days that have valleys. And when one of the people in the relationship is in the valley, it just throws off the whole thing. And I wonder, because a choice was made here, I wonder, was the husband on board? Does the husband get a say in the political life of his obviously strong, independent wife? And rightly so, she's a freaking senator. If anybody should ever have to defer and, you know, just make their own play call, I think a senator. But I wonder how on board the husband is in this regard, and what impact, like, he's got to go live a life too. You know what I'm saying? Outside of this, to have people maybe whispering behind your back about your wife, or maybe making jokes about your wife, or her receiving all of this negative feedback, dude, they are not having some fun nights here for the next few weeks.
To be into the machine that gets you there in the first place, that all probably went out the window. And, you know, the mechanisms that select these people, particularly the younger ones, for these higher offices aren't exactly exhaustive talent searches, if you know what I mean. Right.
Sure. You're looking for somebody to do the people in power with the budget to produce, like you said, these candidates are looking for a willingness. And if you are the person who is willing to sign up for that position, take that money, you are a certain type of person.
It's always going to be, and it's somebody that all comes into it already reflecting what they are looking for. Mm-hmm. So whether or not she probably arrived at it on her own, but she arrived at it on her own by already, you know, existing in some way in that world, right? In that ecosystem of thought. And I don't mean necessarily a particular political party. I just mean whatever it was that the people that wanted to, that helped her get elected from a funding perspective, whatever they were passionate about, she was already in that.
Sure.
Whatever their wheelhouse is, she was already in that ecosystem. It's, you know, I've seen it when you see people. I've known people that got asked to run for state rep. I've known people that have run for state rep. I've known people who know people that have run for Congress. and on and on. And you catch when you hear them first getting into it. And that's always how they got into it when they're the younger generation as well. I used to be involved with such and such and so and so. And then they just came up and asked me. And it's usually because they were kind of an online shit poster, honestly. Like they want online shit posters under the age of 50. That's what they want.
Let's move on to, I want to talk about kids being brainwashed at school. We all, disagree with everything that woman said, but maybe she made some good points in there. If she would, I don't even think she did talk about the rogue teachers doing the brainwashing at school. I'd like to talk about the brainwashing at school. And I'd like to end with a little bit of Mavs talk with my Mavs friend, Ryland, if I can.
I like the Mavs. I'm a Mavericks fan. I got to buy my season tickets before next Friday.
Good for you, because you're on the list of approved and I'm on the waiting list. And that makes sense. I'm not here to complain, but yeah, I'm on the waiting list.
Maybe you should have tried being a fan of the team.
It's a fair point.
I also tearing them down. Your name got put on the no-fly list is what happened. You've been out here on the internet just tearing them down.
100%.
Since Dirk lifted the trophy. After that, you turned your back.
100%. Also, it's been a budgetary situation, but your boy can afford
it. Cubes used, what was that instant messaging thing he used to always talk about? Cyberdust.
Oh,
somebody cyberdusted your name to Cubes, and he put it on for sure. And you're fucked.
So this is from the dad school of, we got to tell the kids that the patio TV only plays sports. Like, you can't play
and music.
The other things and music. Okay. Like, it literally, the other stuff doesn't work at the patio TV. It can only play sports and music. If you try to search up something on the YouTube on the patio TV, it's only going to pull up sports and music. You can't do anything else. This is from that train of thought, that school of thought. I do not believe that the teachers in schools, elementary, secondary, and otherwise, are brainwashing the children to be groomed for any number of gender identities and or sexual preferences later on in life. I do not believe that they are being brainwashed for that. But I do think they are being brainwashed by their young teachers to cheer for colleges that their parents probably don't want to pay for in the future. And I think that every teacher of at least an elementary school age child should be acting as though out-of-state colleges don't exist.
I like where you're headed with this.
Listen,
Bart Rager got taken care of. I think we need to take this up as our next cause.
They should not be. I don't care what school you went to. You should be telling the kids that you went to UNT. If you live in the DFW area, you should be telling the kids that I got
DCC.
Yeah, I got my basics at Brookhaven, and then I went and finished my degree at UNT.
My man, you're picking up. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You should be telling the kids, I got my basics at Tarrant County Community College. Then I finished up at UTA. My last, call it 40 hours, whatever the case. That's what you should be telling the kids. You shouldn't be telling the kids that I went to the University of Missouri, and the teacher across the hall went to the University of Kansas. So when we see them this week, because there's a big game between Kansas and Missouri, when we go out in the hall, we got to be repping gang. It's got to be gang gang. So we got to yell out rock chalk. Okay?
This is why I don't like college football fans. I want to apologize to sincerely everybody, but all y'all college fans, y'all are a problem. Stop being so extra.
I'm not about to be against the school I'm naming, because it goes against the premise of what I was presenting here. But my 10-year-old being that her mom and I did not go to Texas Tech, should not know the Reckham sign already.
No, but these tech people, how many friends? I have a million friends that went to Tech. I'm sure you do too.
I'm not here to speak down on the university.
Why do they love it so much? Like, it's like they're all so into Tech. Like, they're more into Tech than I'm into, like, Whataburger. And I'm like, why do you love that so much? It's just a school.
I don't, I'm not against the idea of college, but maybe just mix in some vocational training into the indoctrination of my children for the Kansas Jayhawks. Maybe throw in
indoctrinate them in the art of, I don't know,
air conditioning.
Yeah,
you think that's going away? Yeah, you think HVAC's going away anytime soon? You want to talk about a field that needs more women signing up for it? HVAC. Yeah. Okay. Tell them about that. Which, by the way, as I thought about presenting this to you this week, it made me think of, you remember the Tim went to DeVry story? I was 19 years old. I was at a house in the lovely suburb of Plano, Texas, on the west side, basically. West side of Plano.
Does this have something to do with like a fake Disney World?
Nope. I'll do the 30-second version of the story real quick. But I was 19. I lived with a girl, my girlfriend. We went home to have like a big Sunday dinner. Grandma's there, other relatives there, sitting at like a 10-person dinner table. You know, long situation at that point. Grandma is grilling my ass about what my plans are for the future, or how I'm going to take care of the granddaughter here. And everybody is attentive and ready to hear what my plans are. And at this point in time, her and her granddaughter and myself are attending the Collin County Community College. And I say something to the effect of, I am taking radio and TV announcing classes. I'm not quite sure what I want to do, but the first thing out of my mouth after that is, I don't want to be going to DeVry or ATI Tech. And grandmother, the mother of the father at the head of the table, whose house we're sitting in, whose food we're eating, looks at me and says, Tim went to DeVry. What's wrong with DeVry? Tim went to DeVry. And I'm just some 19-year-old shit-talking kid looking down at this dad of a 19-year-old girl who he's paying for her whole life, literally all of it. He's got a good job at Hewlett-Packard. He's got a Ford Taurus company car. And I'm over here saying, I ain't going to DeVry.
I'm studying for... I'm taking radio and TV classes, which will enable me to maybe get an unpaid internship, which will maybe enable me to get a $11,000 a year job where I work from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. 3 days a week.
I mean, meanwhile, I got a mouthful of this guy's lasagna at his table.
You should have said, do you remember? John Cusack, you should have said, I don't want to buy anything sold or processed. I don't want to sell anything bought or processed. I don't want to process anything sold, bought, or processed, or repair anything bought, sold, or processed as a career.
That is
one of my favorite. I haven't seen very many movies, but the ones I've seen carry a lot of weight with me. So I'll never forget
Molly,
that.
Molly sent me some sort of video earlier this week where it was like... some person's like, I have anxiety. So of course, whenever I finished all that I got to do for the day, I lay in bed and think about something I did 5 years ago that was just horrible and awful. And I'm not that kind of person. I really don't think back on the negative of my past too much. But for whenever I encounter something that leads me down that funnel, like anything involved, like if I'm in that neighborhood, if
Tim went to DeVry,
somebody says Hewlett-Packard, if I cross DeVry, that's all I think about. And Tim should have hit me right in my fucking face. Tim should have got up and open hand slapped me to where the lasagna flew out of my face.
Do you think they maybe had a little bit of a sympathy for you, knowing that having a kid your age, they know how dumb boys of that age are, and that the way you came up and the way you viewed those schools versus the way they should be viewed by an adult are two different things? I mean, maybe they had a little bit of a
in that he was very slack, gracious,
you know? Yeah.
In that he was very gracious. Yes. And I hope did apologize to God multiple
my kids
times.
Go to DeVry, because I think I could afford DeVry. That's what.
Yeah, no shit. We're nearing the end here. Just want to have a little Mavs talk against the backdrop of maybe a thought I haven't heard expressed. It's not like I'm some thought leader that's just coming up with all the takes that I don't hear. But I think we have there's 18 games left, I want to say, in the Mavs season.
Either 18 or 19. It was mentioned. Kyrie mentioned it on the walk-off interview after the Miami game a couple nights ago.
I think we are about to witness the most impactful 18 games that we have seen in the recent history of the Dallas Mavericks. For the longest time, we have had an owner in Mark Cuban who had a handshake deal with his main GM. It seems like over the last few years, we have learned that the way Mark Cuban runs the Mavericks franchise is that he's got a main guy, but he's taking in information and ideas from maybe a handful of people, and he's going with those, with that information or with those ideas, maybe on a case-by-case basis.
It seems to be that he has the main guy, but he is willing to direct the main guy on individually operational tasks based on
information from other people,
from others. It's right? Not, but it seems like the big headline is that the structure is non-traditional, if you call it structure at all.
Yes. Non-traditional in maybe a sports franchise sense, but I think a lot of people who run, call it big companies, want to just hear all the ideas and make a decision. Okay. So maybe they do have a main, executor, what you would consider a general manager.
I think that's the thing. I think if it was
like a startup or like a,
If Cuban was called the general manager, or if there was such a thing as a COO
mm-hmm.
that was expected to do all these things, then I don't think people would have as much of a concern about the way he does it, because then he would be doing what every leader in the world, if they should at least be talking to all the people they have and helping to make decisions. The key is where on the depth of the chart does the decision lie? And the decision for the Mavericks lies one level above general manager, and that's not the case at other franchises, all of them. I'm sure some of them it is.
So if you look back over, call it the last 20 years, because of that model of running things, you're likely to be able to highlight like some inconsistencies. Obviously, there was a 10-year stretch after they won the title to where there was not even one playoff series win, you know? The latter half of Dirk's career, they make it to the playoffs, but they never won a series. But that was the Mark Cuban model, was harvesting information. It's me and Donnie communicating, but getting ideas and input from everywhere. Got a handshake deal with Donnie. Got Rick Carlisle as a cornerstone of the franchise for over a decade, essentially. And you know, we're just kind of used to, this is how the wheel turns here. And because they do it that way, there doesn't really seem like this underlying process or system that forms a philosophy. It's, you know, if this is what we're going to try for these 2 years, but then if I want to start leaning on the data, here's what we're going to try for these 2 years. Or maybe I just feel like doing it on a year-to-year basis with year-to-year free agents for 5 years in a row. That doesn't really make any sense, but it allows us to look competitive while we have an all-time franchise star without really being competitive.
There used to be a philosophy before the title. The philosophy was two-pronged. It was keep your assets, keep yourself stocked in player assets so that you can make transactions and do everything you can to find people that fit best with Dirk. That was the philosophy. And it wasn't always easy, but it was ultimately was, you know, 50 win seasons over however many years in a row and however many consecutive playoff appearances. And ultimately you win a championship. It's very gratifying. You had another finals appearance. You had conference finals appearance before that. So you can call that philosophy a success. Ever since then, there hasn't been a philosophy. It was no assets. We're going to chase cap room. Then it was, well, we'll get some assets 2014, 15, 16. We'll go back to stocking the cupboard a little bit. Well, now we got a tank. Okay, well, tanking's fine. Dirk's old now. We can tank. Okay, well, now we got luckier than anything in the world, but they have not reestablished that asset strategy since Luka got here. They just haven't. They haven't had a strategy.
So I bring all that up to say, here's why the next 20 games or 18 games, whatever it is, are so important. I think we are about to learn that this is not the Mark Cuban show anymore.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens there. I kind of hope it's not.
If this 18 games goes poorly, I think we're about to see the extent of how this is not the Mark Cuban show anymore. And I just want to say that we can shit on Mark Cuban for a number of results, but I'm not so dumb and bullheaded enough to not realize you could do a whole lot fucking worse than Mark Cuban.
I know. I'm really interested to see. I'm at a point, and I mentioned it earlier, I got to renew my tickets for the 23rd year. I'm sitting here going, and it's not a ton of money, but I'm kind of thinking like, I am a little tired of spending the money plus the parking, plus the food, plus the time to leave the arena pissed off 2/3 of the time. And it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that until the last 3 seasons. COVID year was horrible. It was just, they should have given us those tickets for free because it sucked. It was like walking into a fucking funeral home every night. But I digress. So
I think it's possible,
a point now
though,
where I either want the owners to force Cuban to, or they need to get together and get to a winning way, or they need to suck so bad that I can be like, well, I'll watch on Bally's, you know, or whatever. I'll watch on, you know, whatever the hell it is in a year, you know.
I would just want to say, though, and here's what I want to bang home. After reading a couple of the articles that came out in the Dallas Morning News within the last 6 weeks about the new owner, and I forget his name at this point, but the new owner who is representative of the family that owns the Mavericks now.
Yeah.
There is no mechanism from what he says, okay? There is no enforceable structure. There is no contract. There is no indemnification that says Mark Cuban is the operating officer of the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I caught that too. And I don't think these people are the kind of people that are just going to honor a handshake deal.
I think Mark Cuban will become one of the voices of information. I think Mark Cuban will become one of the input people. But ultimately, all of the decisions that are about to be made in the upcoming offseason, which are going to be highly dependent on what these next 18 games look like, all of those decisions, I think, are going to be going through a different funnel than they have for the adult phase of our life with the Dallas Mavericks.
I know. I agree.
And so I'm just being really realistic. You got 18 games. I think it would be a successful 18 games if you go 9-9. And buddy, I'm here to tell you that I don't think 9-9 gets you really Mm-mm. anywhere. Mm-mm. I think it keeps you on the edge of the play-in. and I don't want anything to do with any of the teams that are going to be in the play-in. And if they get into the play-in and get bounced in the play-in, I think you have a guy who has taken himself and painted himself in Mavs blue, and I think he is going to want to make this offseason the pronouncement of his tenure. And I think we are about to see shit changed from the way we are used to seeing it. And I remember what happened to Cookie Talk with the little Texas Rangers. And I know that 6-7 years later, after this new ownership group has changed directions multiple times with how they want to operate, that yes, the Texas Rangers got a World Series championship. So good on them. But if you'll remember, when shit changed, shit changed. And I think that's what we're headed for in Dallas Mavericks land.
Well, they've already, you know, they've already done it with the ticket pricing, which it didn't really impact me much, or so I've heard. I haven't checked it yet, but that's an indication of, I think, just, you know, new sheriff in town. When you say someone has painted himself in Mavericks blue, who are you talking about?
The new owner, dude. He
Oh, this new guy? This guy?
Yeah. He is wanting to.
But you don't even know his name.
I forget his name, but he is wanting to foam. I'm telling you, the way he's talking, this, everything always comes back to succession for me. And he's
the oldest boy.
Yeah. He is my grown, my adult male son. He is my adult male son. And he is going to want to big boy himself into a spot at the table. And I'm telling you, all possibilities are open at that point. Maybe he comes out.
If you run with those type of people and you swim in those circles with those type of money, that type of money, you'd have the opportunity to big brother Mark Cuban. Why wouldn't you take that opportunity? That, you know what that does for you? If you get inserted into an organization and you get the chance to basically push Mark Cuban around. Because here's the thing. I've been saying this for as much as I appreciate everything he's done for the basketball in the city of Dallas and whatnot. I think Cuban lost his fastball some time ago. He's my mom's
I don't think he's,
if this dude's coming through and he's 52 and he's ready to rock and roll and they want to go nose to nose, I don't think he wins. I don't think he wins in the public. I don't think he wins behind the closed doors because, again, I think for as brilliant as a guy as he is, he has lost his fastball.
Just to be real clear, he is the governor of the Mavs. He is where the paperwork goes from the NBA to the Dallas Mavericks organization. It does not go to Mark Cuban anymore. He is not the listed governor. He is not. And that guy was not even willing to say, just go back. I want to say February, there are two articles came out, Dallas Morning News. That guy was not even willing to say that, yes, Mark Cuban, like he was like, you know, I think Mark Cuban is a wonderful, essentially, this is what he said. I think Mark Cuban is a wonderful asset and person with a ton of experience for me to lean on because he's been through this. That's what he said.
Yep.
And so we are about to see, yes, maybe he makes a huge splash and does some crazy shit. I don't think that their cap is in position to do it. I don't, like you just said, I don't think they have the assets to do it. So maybe everything I'm saying is null and void. But if there is a move, if this guy is coming in with his Mavs foam finger, if this guy is smart enough to realize that you've got a generational talent in Luka Doncic and the clock is ticking, okay? We got to do something. Because that's where this all goes. Does this guy come in and communicate to the once-in-a-lifetime superstar for your franchise that we're going to do everything possible under the sun
to
put a team around you, okay? Or
you have to. That's his job.
Or are we going to come in and raise ticket prices, streamline this roster for the next 2 years down the road so that we could build this pie in the sky future plan for you, or we're going to do some crazy shit that Luka doesn't agree with, or we're going to do some crazy shit that doesn't make basketball sense. I'm telling you, this next 20 games will impact Mark Cuban's voice in the group that is the Dallas Mavericks ownership going forward.
And I'm happy with either direction, because either we get a scenario where we get to enjoy watching Luka play basketball and we play winning basketball, or I save a lot of money. It's a win-win for me.
Mm.
I had Arby's on Wednesday night.
You hear the music. It's a win-win for you. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean to cut you off there. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I talk yet?
Yeah.
Well, you know how it goes with the what about now? Can I talk now? Had Arby's on Wednesday night. Layla and I have gotten into a cadence where if I pick her up from her Wednesday night activity, there's an Arby's on the way home. And I don't always pick her up. It depends. But if I do, we run through Arby's. Have a little sit down. We love the Arby's. And I'm going to give you
Arby's.
I'm so happy that this podcast has been on that hill for Arby's, because I've been to two different locations recently and they've both been remodeled. They're clean inside and the people at the counter have been just top tier. I'm talking second only to Chick-fil-A in terms of front
service,
counter, fast food interaction. Yeah. So whoever the Adelsons appointed to take care of Arby's, he did the right thing. And so I hope that translates to the Mavvies.
I love
my teams and I love the basketball.
Shout out to Molly, because Molly is a huge Arby's fan. And were it not for her, I wouldn't have given Arby's a second chance. And every time we give Arby's a chance, I'm never let down. I do have a fast food take that I want to share next week. And it only comes with getting older and crotchety. And so maybe I'll hopefully remember to share that. But for this one, thanks for listening. Jason, appreciate your contribution. That was really cool how you just sat there the whole fucking time. You absolute shit ass.
Should have gotten a clip of him asking if we wanted to review movies.
Yeah.
Played it at the very end. That way people thought that was all he said, because then he would do what he always does, which is say that and then not follow up.
Yeah. For Brad, for Rylan, for Jason, human dads, tell your mom to listen. Go to Arby's, bring the bread, throw in the tortilla. We'll holler at y'all next week. Peace in the Middle East. Free Palestine.